face the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a throne. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Kate. All right, we're going to move fast. Okay, because I got to finish this up today, this subject on millions of years. So, we are in our discipleship series. Be ready to give a reason for your hope. We get that from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be ready to give a reason. We've been looking at all these different subjects so far. We are on millions of years, and that's where we are going to finish up hopefully today. Now, last week we looked at three individuals and their great lies that they have put forth on humanity. We got Hutton despising and questioning the Word of God, Lyle openly despising it. And we talked about these men and the books they wrote, the uniformitarianism that they came up with, the false theory of time and the past, the present, and the future. Then Charles Darwin took the millions of years that Hutton and Lyle created, and he created, built evolution on those millions of years. Now, we showed very clearly last week where millions of years came from. The mind of those two men. Not backed up with scientific evidence, because there was no scientific way in 1830 of dating anything. Rock layers, fossils, whatever. But today, they say, well, radiocarbon dating and radiometric dating, science has proven that the geological column is true. Remember, we talked about the geological column. The only place to find it is in the textbooks. So the question is, has science really proved millions of years with radiocarbon dating and radiometric dating? No, because they don't date rock layers by radiocarbon dating or radiometric dating. We're going to look at the difference between these two. But here's how they actually do it. Next slide, Levi. How do geologists use carbon dating to find the age of rocks? Now, this is from Earth Science. Geologists do not use carbon-based radiometric dating. Now, we're going to stop right here. Carbon dating is based on carbon. Radiometric dating is not based on carbon, right? I got a geologist sitting back there. Radiometric dating is based on potassium and argon. But when you tell so many lies, you get caught up in your own lies. Here is a publication from Earth Science talking carbon-based radiometric dating. There's no such thing. But we'll ignore their ignorance here. But the point is, they do not use radiocarbon dating or metric dating really to date the rocks. Now, they say because radiocarbon dating can only date things about 50,000 years. But when you Google, how can we tell how old a rock layer is? Three ways come up. Three ways. Superposition, meaning the rock layers on the bottom are older than the rock layers on top. We talked about how the flood created the layers, and we talked about all the evidence that shows the layers are not millions of years old. Cross-cutting relationships, non-conformities, and index fossils. Now, you notice it doesn't say radiocarbon dating or radiometric dating. But index fossils are the main way. Next slide, Levi. I want to show you this. This is from a biology book, Glencoe Biology. On page 306, it says this. The layers of rock can be dated by which fossils are found in them. So you want to know how old a rock layer is? You find the fossil in them, and they have the index fossil, right? But on page 307, it said this. Scientists have determined the relative timing of appearance and disappearance of many kinds of organisms from the location of their fossils in the rock layers. Do you see the circular reasoning there? On one page, you can tell how old the fossil is by the or how old the rock layer is by the fossil found in it. On the next page, it says you can tell how old the fossil are by the rock layer it's found in. It's circular reasoning. And they don't even see it. Radiocarbon is not the main principle or method to date rocks. So no, technically, radiocarbon dating cannot prove millions of years. Because we learned it's only up to what? 50,000, right? Now, radiometric dating is a little slightly different, but we'll talk about that here in a second. But I want to focus on radiocarbon dating, this ratio between carbon-12 and carbon-14. The premise behind it is good. The science of the decay of carbon is accurate. But there's major flaws in it. Watch this video on radiocarbon dating.
How do we know how old something is? For people, we'd ask to see their birth certificate. For trees, we'd count the rings. But how do we know how old a fossil is? Fossils have their own internal clock. Scientists can read it by looking at the ratio of two different types of carbon atoms. Of course, every living thing is made of carbon. Plants grab carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and use it to form complex organic molecules. Animals get their carbon by eating these plants. But there's more than one form of carbon. Most carbon atoms have 6 protons and 6 neutrons. We call this carbon-12. High up in the atmosphere, sometimes cosmic rays hit nitrogen atoms. This creates carbon with 6 protons and 8 neutrons. We call this carbon-14. Carbon-12 and carbon-14 behave alike, but carbon-14 has one unique and important attribute. It's unstable. So once an animal dies, the carbon-14 in its body will start to go away. Every 5,730 years on average, about half of the carbon-14 atoms will decay into nitrogen. This is its half-life. After one half-life, the animal will have about half the amount of carbon-14 it started with. After another half-life, it will have about a quarter. And after another half-life, it will have about an eighth. By contrast, the amount of carbon-12 it has in its body will stay the same. By measuring the ratio of carbon-14 to carbon-12, we can measure how many thousands of years have passed since the animal died. Carbon dating works for fossils up to about 60,000 years old. For older fossils, scientists use unstable elements that have much longer half-lives. For Scientific American's Instant Egghead, I'm Michael Moyer.
Okay, so in the video, how good is carbon dating up to? 60,000. We went from 50,000 to 60,000. Now, here's the premise behind carbon-14, is that they have a set value for carbon-12. Based on uniformitarianism, what happened in the past is still happening today, and it's going to happen in the future. Nothing changes. So what they have is a set standard of carbon-12. But, and basically a standard for carbon-14, but what do we see out there in the world? The next slide, Levi. If you look at carbon-14 and carbon-12 and 14 ratio in our atmosphere, it is not a constant. It changes. The premise of carbon-14 is good, but the baseline of carbon-12 and 14 is not set. It fluctuates. But they have it as a set numerical value in the equation that they use to calculate age. But we can look at things and know, even today, carbon levels fluctuate. They're not a set value. And if we go back to the pre-flood world, what makes carbon 14? Sunlight, right? The rays. Well, what did the pre-flood world have around it? An ice shield. That's why people lived longer and things were bigger back in the pre-flood world. That would really cut down on the carbon in the atmosphere. And then a devastating flood where the whole earth cracked open, causing multiple volcanoes everywhere, the carbon levels would greatly change with a great wide world flood and the volcanoes. Besides, science today has figured out that carbon changes. So what about this radiometric dating? All right. So that's based on potassium and argon. Now, it says it's accurate from 4.3 billion years to about 100,000 years. Because these elements, their half-lives last longer and they can read them easier than when carbon-14 gets down to the very small levels. But what is radiocarbon and radiometric dating, the principle, the math behind it, the equation, what is it based on? Well, according to the American Journal of Science, radiometric dating would not have been feasible if the geological column had not been erected first. That's huge, folks, right there. From their own mouths. Their dating techniques are based on a geological column that does not exist. It came from the mind of Charles Lyell. Radiocarbon dating doesn't work because carbon fluctuates and it's not a set standard. So you can't look back expecting what we see today as carbon, and that's the levels it was in the past. It throws the whole equation off. It's all based on a lie. So can we say science has proven millions of years with radiocarbon dating and radiometric dating? No. That is the lie they put out there to cover the other lie. This column is the foundation for it all. And this column was based on a false theory called uniformitarianism. Here's the flaws of radiocarbon dating. Formula is based on the geological column, which doesn't exist. Levels of carbon in the atmosphere change, so there can't be a set value in your equation when you are testing things. The amount of cosmic rays reaching the Earth varies with the sun activities. So if you have solar flares, you're going to boost the level. That changes things. The next one is the strength of the Earth's magnetic field affects the amount of cosmic rays entering the atmosphere, let alone the ice canopy that was around the Earth, but now the magnetic field as well. And science has been proving that our magnetic field is weakening around the Earth. So if it's weaker today than it was before, then it was what before? Stronger. Common sense, right? So the stronger the magnetic field, the more rays are deflected. So that'll change your carbon 14. And like I said, the Genesis flood with the volcanic activity would definitely upset the carbon balance. Remember how we talked about the flood creating the ice age? Let me show you something about the ice age. New research documents extremely high atmospheric carbon 14 during the last ice age. Well, of course, we talked about that devastating day of the flood and the volcanic activity that would be all around. But look at this. Now, I know it's hard for you to see probably from where you're sitting, but I have it highlighted. It says in this article from 2001 that you can use this dating for items 16,000 years old. So 16,000 years old is what they say carbon dating is good for. But we started with a video or a slide that said 50,000, then a video that said 60,000. So which is it? 16,000, 60,000, or 50,000? But wait a minute. Next slide, Levi. New research funded by the National Science Foundation of the University of Miami is showing that the carbon dating can be trusted up to 150 million years. Jim freaked out on this one last week. Jim is also a geologist. He came up and was talking to me, and I showed him this. He goes, "What? You got to put out propaganda to get people to believe lies." So we've gone from 50,000 to 60,000 to 50,000 to 16,000, now to 150 million. But wait, there's more. Next slide. Sedimentary rock can be dated using radioactive carbon, but because carbon decays relatively quickly, this only works for rocks younger than about 50,000. We're all over the map, aren't we? You see, if this were an exact science, and this is supposed to be, relative dating is ballpark figure. That comes from looking at the rock layers in their position, the older being the deeper ones being older, and then the index fossil. That gives you a relative ballpark figure age. But absolute dating of items comes from radiocarbon dating and radiometric dating. But then you get, from the experts, all sorts of different ranges. If it were an exact scientific method as they proclaim, it would be reliable and everybody would be on the same page of what years. But they're not. Because it's not reliable. Let me show you. Carbon-14 dating, inaccurate on mammoth skin. And this is just one of many, many. You can look these things up. But they were dating the skin of a frozen mammoth, right? Next slide, Levi. The skin, the same skin of a mammoth was sent to two different labs for carbon dating to test for accuracy. Surprisingly, the results differed in each test. In one case, the results varied by more than 14,000 years. The same skin. I don't know. Do you think your skin is different ages? Probably not. 14,000 years is a big gap between two different scientific labs using the same process, but the process is flawed. And here's what they do. The test exposed error rates as high as 32% for what they call absolute dating. Look at the last sentence. In the end, and this is true, in the end, scientists picked the dates from their tests which best fits their evolutionary guesstimates of age, i.e. the geological column. So they'll test three or four times. They'll get three or four different dates, ages, and they'll look for the one that best aligns to the geological column. Janet, am I correct? Oh, from a geologist. Next slide, Levi. Their test doesn't match the lie from Charles Lyell that all earth science is based on, which is based on his imagination from 1830, based on a false theory of uniformitarianism from Hutton. They throw their scientific answer out. Where did millions of years come from? Not radiocarbon dating. Not radiometric dating. They come from rock layers that were wrongly perceived by two men that did not want to have a God over them. So they lied. because they hate God. See, what you must understand, folks, is we have been sold some snake oil. The prince of this world is real, Satan, the father of lies. And his angels, his ministers are angels of deception, of lies, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. But they can appear as angels of light. They can appear as ministers of righteousness. They want to deceive. And science is good. We love science because science is based on an intelligent designer creating the universe. And we discover how he did it and the laws he put in place. But there is science out there that has been corrupted. It masquerades as science, but it's a belief system built on faith. Faith in evidence that's not there, so people can feel justified in not believing in God. There is science that masquerades as science. And our scientifically accurate Bible, and we talked about the science here, our scientifically accurate Bible warned us about this in the first century before science ever became science. Let me show you. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, the Word of God. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions, whatever contradicts what this says, contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Do you know another word for knowledge? Science. Next slide, Levi. The old King James made it very clear. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions or contradictions of science falsely so called. Millions of years, geological column, we'll get into evolution. Is science masquerading as science? And when it really is a faith system, a religious faith system. But today it's called science. Why is the geological column taught in schools? There's no evidence for it. It's false. But it supports, it has to be there. It's one of the pillars of evolution. Without the geological column, you don't have millions of years. If you don't have millions of years, you don't have evolution. And if you don't have evolution, there's only one option left, God. And there's a bunch of people out there in the world that don't want that to be true. It's so mind-boggling. It is. It just goes. It's all there to be found, all the evidence that it's a lie. But most of the world will believe, and I bet a lot of people you know will believe in millions of years. It's not true. Now, the last lie we're going to look at, and we'll be done today. And I don't mind at all to say this. Avoid the sound of one hand clapping. Means don't just listen to one side. So you've heard one side most of your life. I'm giving you the other side. But at the same time, I know things that I'm saying will be challenged. Or you might read something that challenges. That's fine. When you have the truth, you don't fear challenges. You don't fear questions. And we stand on the truth. And so if you, after this sermon series, if you hear something that seems to contradict something I've taught, bring it here. So we can hear both hands clapping and we'll address it. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, millions of years is a lie. It's never existed. Now the question is, does the Bible teach millions of years? Because that's what people claim. But see, what happened is exactly what happened in this cartoon. Some weak-minded, misled theologians back in the day attempted to add millions of years to a Bible that never, ever taught millions of years. Because sometimes we can be blinded by authority. It's arguing from an authoritative position. Well, I'm in charge, so what I say goes, and people usually acquiesce to that. So scientists seem to be in charge. They're smart. They're scientists. So we say millions of years, you dumb theologians who don't think for yourselves, better change your Bible. And that's exactly what they did. Or try to anyway. It's called the gap theory and the day-age theory. Okay, these are the two theories they came up to try to make the Bible fit with their science of the day back in the late 1850s, early 1900s. Because science was still out teaching millions of years. Science didn't start out like that, but we already talked about that. So some panics, some Christians panicked. Oh no, our Bibles are not true. But all this science was based on lies, but no one knew at the time. And so we got to come up with some way to make the Bible teach what it doesn't teach. Gap theory and day age theory. Here's the gap theory. Next slide, Levi. All right, there's a gap in between verses 1 and 2. Now, for thousands of years, until 1884, Jews that read the Old Testament, their Bible, and Christians who've read the entire Bible, thousands of years they read Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void. No one noticed the gap between those two verses, where there is billions and billions of years. Nobody noticed them until 1884. So in 1884, someone opened their Bible between those two verses and go, wow, there's billions of years of time between those two verses. Why didn't someone find that gap before? And why is that gap not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible? The reason they found it in 1884 is because Charles Lyell's book came out in 1830. And it changed what science thought. Up until science believed young Earth, and I showed you that. But in 1830 he wrote his book. And in 1859 Charles Darwin wrote his book based on Charles Lyell's book. And that became the rage. Evolution. Millions of years. It started freeing people not to believe in God or not to believe in the Bible, which was very popular, especially in our country, going into the late 18 or early 1860s, because we were doing something, some people were doing something in this country that was against Scripture. Slavery. But see, if we're just animals evolved, and when we get to evolution, I'll show you this, that the lighter your skin, the more evolved you are. The darker your skin, the less involved you are. So evolution, and I'll show you from Charles Darwin's book, he supported slavery because black people were less evolved. I'll show you. But that's why they came up with this. Someone finally found this gap of time. No one else who has ever read this saw the gap. Because there is no gap. The Bible doesn't teach billions and millions of years. So they saw that there was no way to get people really to believe in this gap theory. There was no evidence to support it. So they came up with the next one. The day-age theory. This attempts to reconcile Genesis, the Genesis creation narrative, like it's history, and modern science. It tries to bring the modern science. And the modern science is based on lies because they're trying to millions of years, right? So they're trying to get the Bible to fit this lie of modern science that the days are not literal 24-hour days. The 6 days of creation are really long periods of time. Each day could be millions, maybe billions of years old. That's what Genesis is. They try to say Genesis 1 is written poetically. Don't take it literally. Is that true? Sorry, no. They base it on the word for day, which is yom. So, the word day is used 2,301 times in the Old Testament. It is the Hebrew word yom. Okay? Everywhere in the Old Testament, yom, the way it's used, and I'll show you how it's used, means 24-hour day in the entire Old Testament. Except Genesis chapter 1. There, it's different. That's what they want you to believe. But God is smarter than man, and God can see what they were going to do. So God wrote Genesis 1 in such a way you can't ever say the days in Genesis 6 are long periods of time. You can't do it without either lying or being completely ignorant. Let me show you. The Hebrew word for day is yom. Now, it can mean four things. Hebrew and Greek are very similar, that their meaning, the words can have multiple meanings depending on how they're used. It's a much more technical language than English. But the Hebrew word for yom can mean a period of light. It can mean a 24-hour period, a day. It can mean a general, vague period of time. Aha, they say, see? The 6 days can be long periods of time. Or just a point in time. However, there's rules, just like we have rules in English, how you use words and how you can't use words. There's rules in Hebrew for the same thing. So, click one time, Levi. When yom is connected with a numerical value, it means every time, without any exceptions, 24 hours. That's why, click one time, Levi. It says first day, first yom. It's connected to a numerical value. That is the rule. So starting from Genesis 1 through the rest of the Old Testament, it means 24-hour day. Now God in His wisdom knew man and Satan would come up with this theory to try to get people to believe in millions of years. Because if you believe in millions of years, you can believe in the Big Bang, and then you don't have to believe in God. Which means you won't listen to the gospel, which means you'll die in your sins. And that's what Satan wants. So God in His wisdom knew they would be using this day-age theory. So not only did He use the word properly, first day, second day, third day, He did overkill. He went over and beyond saying one 24-hour period. How did He do that? He added, which is overkill in the Hebrew. Click one. He added evening and morning the first day. Evening and morning is one 24-hour cycle. So God overkilled the meaning. You cannot say the Hebrew word yom in Genesis 1 means long periods of time unless you are being deceptive or you're being ignorant. It's the only two choices. And I'm not going to back off on that statement because it's the truth. People can be ignorant. That can be fixed. People who are being deceptive, that's something in the heart. Another problem with the day-age theory, and I'm almost done. Click one time, Levi. All right, let's test your knowledge here, folks. What day were plants made on? Ooh, deafening silence. How many of you guys say day 2? Wrong. Day three. When was the sun made? Up in the balcony. Four, she says. Sorry, Rich, you were wrong. You said four, but. So how did, if those days are really millions and billions of years, how did those plants survive till the sun was made later? And there's one more. When were the insects made? Day six. The bug guy should know. What do bugs do for plants? Pollinate. They were out yesterday. Did you hear them around these? We have a tree in our backyard. It's all blossomed out. And it was just everywhere. Yeah. Do you think God wrote Genesis 1 to give us the understanding or what that the millions of years were in place? Or when you read, just an average Joe person like all of us, when you read Genesis 3, does it sound like it's telling us God made everything in 6 days? It does. Period. There's not millions of years. We can prove that scientifically, and we have. So you don't need to make the Bible say something that's not even backed up with science. All right, I'm going to finish up real quick. The gap theory and day age theory. Ugh, terrible. Millions of years. Lie. Don't have to change the Bible. Satan was behind that. Satan's behind all the lies in the world. He's the father of lies. But see, if you believe in millions of years, if people, and I've heard Christians, they've heard my teaching, and they go, no, I still believe in millions of years. Okay, but now you've got a major problem. Even bigger than just, you know, not believing in God's Word. Because if you choose to believe in millions of years, you are destroying something that you might, hopefully, is very precious to you, and you don't realize you're destroying it. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. All right? So at the end of 6 days, everything was good. But, very good. Go to the next picture, Levi. So, but if you believe in millions of years, remember the video I played where it said 99% of all species that ever existed died? You guys remember that video? I just played it like 3 weeks ago. Remember the video where the planet crashes into our planet? And they said that. Oh, now we got it. Okay, good. So they said 99% of all species that ever existed died out. That's a lot of species, right? So if this is very good at the end of day six and millions of years is really existing, then for millions of years there have been death and destruction before this day six. God says it's very good. See, people say, well, God used evolution. It's called theistic evolution. Well, if God used evolution, I don't want to say words that are proper. He's inept. He's stupid. Because what, he couldn't get it right? For millions of years, animals struggled to finally get to their where one can survive. So God just couldn't get the animals right? So for millions of years, things died out? Survival of the fittest, we'll go over more about evolution when we get there. But either God was inept or God is sadistic. He loved to see the struggle of life, things dying out. He loved to see 99% of the species He supposedly created wiped out. It's not the God of the Bible. God did not design life with death. He did not design the world that way. God says death came through sin. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and this way death came to all men. That's what the Bible teaches. But, next slide, Levi, millions of years teaches there's always been death. And if you believe in millions of years, you have to accept that. There has been death here since the beginning of the planet, of life. But the Bible teaches death entered through Adam and through sin. You can't believe in both. And if millions of years is true, then the gospel is false. Play the next video.
What's the problem with believing in an old earth? I think there are three fundamental issues. The first one is that the millions of years impugns God's character. How can God be good if he created the world full of suffering and death and misery and pain? Secondly, it rejects the inerrancy of the Bible. God's word is truth, and yet it plainly tells us that he created in 6 days. So if the evolutionary story and the millions of years are true, then the 6 days are not. But perhaps most importantly, the millions of years undermines the gospel because it places death before Adam, so there is therefore no need for the last Adam to come to pay the price for the first Adam's sin. So the gospel is without a coherent foundation.
Romans 5:12 again says, sin entered through the world through one man, death through sin. Death is a result of sin, for the wages of sin is death. But according to millions of years, death has always been here. So sin did not bring death, which means sin is not our problem. And what did Jesus die for? His death is meaningless, because the Bible tells us, if death before sin, then death is not the consequence or payment for sin. Then Jesus' death does not pay our sin debt, if millions of years is true. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift of eternal life, of forgiveness of our sins, happens because Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, according to the Word of God. John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that takes away death so we can have eternal life, because death was a result of sin. But if millions of years are true, Jesus was a fraud. There's no reason for us to be here together. Millions of years, death, always a part of the picture. Death was not because of sin. And so Jesus' death meant nothing. You can't believe in both. And I know some try. Some churches teach there's no problem with believing in God and Jesus and believing in evolution in millions of years. Those pastors are wrong. They haven't thought out their theology very well. But let me be very clear. This is true. Millions of years destroys the gospel. But let me be very clear. We do not dismiss millions of years so we can have a gospel. We dismiss millions of years because there's no scientific evidence for them. And the gospel is true on top of that. Period. So who are you going to believe? Come on up, team. Who are you going to believe? Jesus believed in the Genesis 1 account. Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? That's a lot. We should ask a lot of believers that. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning? What is he referencing? Genesis 1, in the beginning. That he who made them in the beginning made them male and female. He's referencing Genesis 1 that was written by Moses. He is confirming the truth of it. He believes in the Genesis 1 account. So do you want to believe Jesus? Or do you want to believe these guys? The earth is not millions of years old. I know people mock that. I know. But if millions of years is one of the foundational lies that people first need to believe so Satan can move them to the place where they don't care about God, or they don't believe in God, or they don't believe in this. Because if they don't believe in this, they're not going to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to die in their sins. And that's what Satan wants. The earth is not millions of years old. If you read it straight up and go through the genealogies from Adam and everything on forward, you come up to around 6,000 years. Now, some biblical scholars will say, well, it's probably maybe around between 6 and 10,000, because sometimes in Jewish genealogies, they didn't go father to son, father to son. Sometimes they went father to son, grandfather to grandson. Sometimes they skipped a generation here or there. So, okay, maybe that happened. We have no proof. It did. It definitely happened in Jesus' genealogy if you read Matthew. But we don't know if that is what exactly happened back here with the genealogies in the Old Testament. But let's say there was some skipped. Okay, we'll add a few hundred years here, a few hundred years there. So maybe the earth can be older than just 6,000. But it can't be older than 10. It's definitely not millions. It's not even hundreds of thousands. The most it could be is around 10. It's not millions of years. Wait a minute, though, you say. If the earth is not millions of years old, where do the dinosaurs live? Do we have proof that dinosaurs didn't live 65 million years ago? Yes. Scientific proof? Yes. Do we have scientific proof that man and dinosaurs existed together? Yes. More than you'll ever believe. And that'll be our next subject. But today, as we close, we have seen evil men used by the father of lies to try to steal the glory of creation away from the Creator. Basically saying with dumb theories, nothing was there and nothing is the cause of everything. Nothing was there and nothing exploded, producing a planet, universe. And then we were from stardust and trying to steal the glory from God. Millions of years, all this. But it was God alone who brought us into existence. It's God alone who deserves our love, our respect, our gratitude, our awe. He deserves it. God alone. Don't let Satan steal that from you. He stole it from enough people, but not us. It's God alone who gets the glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I ask that this truth go forth, that we can understand and have faith in your Bible. Your word is true. It's purified. It's been tested and attacked, and it's proven itself every time. You are the truth. So, Lord, I ask you to help us see the glory of your creation. And not let science, falsely so called science, steal your glory. You get all the credit for everything we see, for our very lives, our very existence. And we want to honor that and stand upon that truth today. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing one more song before we go.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. that's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. And you are God alone. You're the only God.
If you have any questions, please send them in. Come talk to me anytime. We'll be here all week. Let's go out and be His church. Let's go out and enjoy each day that He gives us. And there, we all deal with hard times, and those are part of life. Seek Him with a full heart. He will take care of those things. He'll lead you through those times. And let's take each day to walk with Him, seek Him, honor Him, share Him with people. We have been found and set free. Let's see if we can find others and help them to be set free. Let's go out there and be His team. We'll break out here and count to three. One, two, three.